This series that we've been doing, it's been very profitable for me. I hope that it's been profitable for you. And you know, the only way that it could be profitable for you is that you apply what you've been hearing. You apply with what we've been teaching, and we've been teaching what God's word says about the body of Christ. Slide one, Joe, please. About the body of Christ. And, you know, this is the series, Learning to Build the Church by God's Design. And on the marquee sign, it says, Building God's Church, or Building God's Kingdom Together. And this is something that we have to learn to do. And today, there's a lot of good nuggets in verse 16. And so I'm going to read verses, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. But before I read verse 16, I got to start in verse 15. Last week, Shannon preached verses 14 and 15. And in order for us to even begin on the right track or on the right step of verse 16, we got to read verse 15. So if you'll stand, please, Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15 through 16, it says, But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him. Who's him? Jesus, who is the head, Christ. Christ means the anointed one. So Jesus is the anointed one. Verse 16, from whom? Who's whom? That's Jesus. It's still talking about Jesus. So from Jesus, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Father, I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, let your Holy Spirit move in this service. Let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray that you give us revelation of the truth that is found in God's word, because God's word is truth. Holy Spirit, I pray that you reveal, shine that light in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, revealing the truth, revealing anything that we need to repent of, anything that we need to change, our thoughts, our motives, our actions, our ideas. Lord, I pray that because of your word, those things will change. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you move in this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. Real quickly, just felt the need to give a little advertisement about what we're going to speak on next month. And if you've seen calendar, it says spiritual authority, understanding our God-given authority for the supernatural. You know what I just did right there? I just prayed. When you pray, it is something supernatural. It is something that a lot of people that don't know God, that don't understand God, that don't understand what Jesus has done, they can't understand this. Why pray? What good is it going to do you? Why pray? I guess it's just going to help you. It's just something that'll help you, make you feel good. It's more than that. Prayer is supernatural. Prayer is us talking to the God who created everything that is seen and unseen. And if we know what God's word says, we'll be able to walk in that spiritual authority that God has given us, so that what we can pray, we know God hears. And what we're praying, we know it's found in God's word and it's God's desire. So therefore, God hears, God listens, and God desires to answer. Because what God is telling us here, if we agree with it and if we agree with it and do our best to walk in it and we pray it, God's like, man, we're right here. God's saying, we're right here. You understand me because you know what the word of God says, and you understand it, so you're going to pray what my word says. You got me. I got you right here. We're eye to eye. We're understanding each other now. So you know what? Your prayer, get ready. I'm going to answer it. And a lot of times we don't think about that. We think we're just going to pray because it's just something good. We think we're going to pray because, well, I remember when I was, 7 years old, my mom would teach me to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And all those little kid prayers. And a lot of times adults are still praying kid prayers, are still praying these prayers that it's just, there's no faith in it. It's just something that's become ritual that you remember since you were a little kid. And you don't even realize God's given us authority, yes. Especially you parents. God's given you authority, and you're missing out if you don't know about that authority and to walk in. And so that's just a real quick advertisement of what we're going to be preaching next month. So I encourage you, don't miss. Listen, Shannon and I, we didn't come up with the idea of church. God did. So come to service, come to church, come prepared, come expecting to receive. So going back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, we have to understand this verse, and this verse is packed, jam-packed of a lot of interesting things. But what I want to say is, you know, we went to CareNet, a banquet this past week, and Patrick Eads, he's the chairman, I guess the chairman or CEO or whatever of CareNet. And he spoke about how we were born with and for a purpose. Each life is vital and each life has a purpose. And God says that he gave Jesus so that we can have life to the full, to live a full life. And so we have Jesus and God wants us to live this full life. And it's sad that a lot of people are trying to live a life without Christ. And if you're going to live a life without Christ, your life will never be fixed. Your life will never be full because Jesus is the one who makes it full. Jesus is the one who makes it worthwhile because there's a great end because he's our Savior and we're going to get to heaven because of him. In the body of Christ, it's a shame that it's the same, not the shame, but it's the same that we are all important and we are to live a full life. Slide two. You know, in any sport, everyone on the team is important. Everybody say everyone. Everyone on the team is important. Now listen, if there is somebody who believes that there's this other guy is not valuable, then why is he on the team? Every person on that team is valuable. Now, let's just bring this slide three. Let's just bring this. Every person that's in the body of Christ, we are to be working together. This is what we've been teaching, that we work together. And in verse 16, it tells us why we're even teaching what we're teaching. Because there's going to be a benefit from this, that we work together. Next slide, slide four, please. That's a congregation. Every person in the body of Christ, and this is just one church, like, you know, if I was to take a picture of all of you, take a picture, every single one of you that claims Hidden Treasures is your church, or this is a place where you worship, or this is a place where you get your worship on, this is a place where you hear the word, this is a place where you want to come to because God says, that's where I want you to go. You are to be working together. You are valuable. And that's what we've been talking about this series, building his kingdom together. It has been to instruct all of us that God has a desire for this church, that we come together in unity and we do what he says. That we all are instructed that all of us be on the same page. Let's be on the same page, getting involved and doing what the scriptures tell us. Because if there's anyone in this congregation, if there's anyone on a team that says, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'll come whenever I want to come. I'll say whatever I want to say. I'll play whatever play I'm going to play. That's the time when that person no longer needs to be on the team. That's the time where the coach says, hey, you know what? I'm pulling you. You know, you're coming. You know what? Hit the locker room. You're gone. Why? Because he's not playing with the team. He's not being in unity with the team. So you know what? Sooner or later, that team's going to fail. That team is not going to be in unison and in unity. This is why God wants us to understand his scripture and his word, that we are his body. So the fingers shouldn't, you know, the fingers and the hands should be working along with the rest of the body. Anybody ever, you know, I'm sorry, Melissa, but I was going to ask this. Anybody ever pull a muscle or break a bone or dislocate your shoulder? Isn't it painful? Why is it painful? Something is out of whack. Something's not connected. Something is not connected correctly. There's a ligament. There's a joint. There's a tendon that has been cut or torn or pulled. Anybody ever pull a hamstring before? It doesn't feel good, does it? It hurts if you ever pulled a hamstring. Anybody ever pulled a muscle before? Your back. You pulled your back out trying to pick up something or picking up something too heavy. That hurts. This month, we've been talking about how we are to be building the kingdom together to instruct all of us. We got to be humble and we got to work together not to allow the enemy to bring division. Yeah. Because the enemy will bring division and cause some of you in this room, just like some of those people on that screen, that the enemy would love to cause any one of those people, several of those people, several individuals to have that mentality of individualism. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'll come to church whenever I want to come to church. I'll come to Sunday school whenever I want to come to Sunday school. That's not what the Word of God teaches and tells us. But we are to work together. One of the things that my prayer is that when people become part of the church, and this is what we say when we have a family covenant class. Matter of fact, another commercial. Family covenant class will start next Sunday for those of you that want to be that are interested in becoming a member of Hidden Treasures. One of the things that I always say in the family covenant class is, I'm glad that God has brought you here, but God has brought you here to this place, to this body of believers, so that you can be a blessing to others and that you could prepare yourself to be blessed by other people. See, because there's not one person that's better than the other. If that happened, it would be Jesus, because he's walking into this room and we all see him face to face. He's the one. But everybody else, we're all striving together to work together to be in unity in the bond of peace, that we apply the scriptures of God's word to our lives so that we can actually be effective in doing what he wants us to do. Psalm 133, let's go there real quick, because I shared this a couple of weeks ago. And how precious it is that we walk in unity. Why should we be in unity? Why should we work together? Well, the psalmist says here, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, I go to the next verse, because I actually explain this, because as I was reading it, I was thinking, well, it's really not precious or beautiful having oil run down some guy's face and beard. And, you know, some of you, you don't really like to, you know, eat. I mean, if you're, you know, your husband or somebody all sweaty, you don't even want to touch him. You know, get away from me, dad, you're sweating. And so it says, it is like precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's not the fact that he's got this oil rubbing, you know, just flowing down. What's precious is that the anointing of God is on this man. That's what's precious. And so the psalmist is saying, just as it is precious that the anointing, the authority, the power of God flowing, running down Aaron's body, that's how precious it is when brethren come together in unity. That's why we have to learn how to work together. We have to learn how to serve together. We have to learn how to live for the Lord together. Each part, each person in the body of Christ has a purpose. Listen, if you're out there and you're sitting there and you think, I don't have a purpose, there's nothing for me to do. Listen, there is. You do have a purpose. God has given you a purpose. God has given you a plan. And I hope that you don't quit, but that you continue to discover God's purpose for your life. That's our first vision of this church, that each person would discover God's purpose for our lives. But listen, God's not going to go ahead and slap you upside the head or slap it upside your forehead telling you. You got to search for it. You got to stay. You got to ask him. Spend some time in prayer. Just sit there and, Lord, I need you to. I mean, and then the Lord begins to reveal some talents, some things that you do that nobody else can do. Just like you. And so that's why you have value and you are important and there is purpose. But you know what the problem is when a person or persons, they consider themselves to be loners. Everybody say loners. I'll serve God by myself. Let's go to slide 5. I'll serve God by myself. Didn't work well for that movie, when Tom Hanks was on that island all by himself. It didn't work very well being all alone. Listen, God did not intend for there to be loners in his body, where there was a part or a person in the body of Christ to say, I will serve God by myself. I don't need y'all. I don't need you. Proverbs 18:1. Let's put that up on the screen, because this is very powerful scripture. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. Doesn't seek God's desire, seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Where does the wise judgment come from? Well, it better come from here. Better come from the word of God. I don't care how many experiences you've had, but whatever wisdom or advice you give, better come from the word of God. Amen? You can go ahead and do all kinds of sorts of things and receive awards and accolades and all that, but the advice better come from wise judgment, which is the word of God. So there's a problem. The problem is a person or persons will have this mentality. You can't be told what to do. I got this on my own. You see, when you refuse to work in unity and refuse to be in submission to God's authority, God's way of doing things is downright sinful. Rebellion as the sin of witchcraft. Now, this morning, there was a passage shared this morning about Achan. And Joshua, the problem that the people of Israel had. Now, there's another problem that happened in 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to go there, verses 10. verse 10 through 24. And I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm going to kind of jump around. 1 Samuel 15, verse 10. And before I read verse 10, just want to let you know a little bit about what's going on. You see, God told Samuel to say something to Saul. Samuel said something to Saul, and Saul took it upon himself to do something else. Okay? So 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repents me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. There's deceit there, because he didn't do everything the Lord told him to do. Deceit. Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears? What's the sound that I hear of animals and the lowing of oxen which I hear? Saul said, I'm kind of thinking he's probably, stuttering here. Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord your God, and the rest we utterly destroyed. So he gets himself involved with that which was utterly destroyed. Verse 16, Samuel said to Saul, Stay, and I will tell you what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Samuel said, When you were little in your own sight, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king of Israel? And the Lord said to you on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul said to Samuel, Yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He's still in denial. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek. He's being a loner right here, wanting to do his own thing, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took, now he's blaming it, he's blaming other people. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord your God in Gilgal. Now, right now, it would be really easy to be like, what a knucklehead, what an idiot, why did he do this? If you're honest with yourself, you've blamed some people over something that you've done. Okay? Verse 22, Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected you from being king. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return unto you, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, Saul laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said to Saul, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you. Now, did God do all of this because God was just being too mean? Oh, God, you're just not being, God, you're just not being tolerant. God, you're just not being merciful enough. God, just got to give him, easy pass. I believe this story is in the Bible for us to realize how dangerous, how disastrous rebellion is. And we as a church, if you don't like what coming out of my mouth or Pastor Shannon's mouth, what's coming out of our mouth is what the Word of God says. You ever have that experience where you tell somebody the truth and they don't like it and they don't want to hear it and they get mad at you? And, the phrase is, what is the phrase? Just forgot the phrase. Okay. Anyway, but the thing is that, it comes from God. I'm only saying what God says. So if you got a problem with it, then take it up with God. So you see, people have this problem, and it is a problem, and it happens in churches today, that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy is what Jesus said. The enemy comes to destroy a church because of the division that's in that church. But if God's people will come together and say, not while I'm here, I will humble myself before the mighty hand of God, I will apply his word, and I will work alongside my brother and sister in the Lord so that we can effectively do what God's wanting us to do. That attitude, that mentality will cause all of us to work together the way God intended, the way God wants it. And rebellion, which is a sin, is witchcraft, is not going to be named among us. This is why this series is very important. And I'm excited. We were both excited when we were starting this because we were wanting God. Yes, God. Thank you, Father. Because the rebellion is a sin, is witchcraft. And we all need to be on the same page so that we're all doing what you want us to do. Listen, if you don't fulfill God's desire, God's plan, God's character, then you know what? You're not in unity with the body. You're not submitting to God and his authority. You're walking in rebellion. You're walking to the beat of your own drum. You've heard that phrase before, right? You're walking to the beat of your own. You're going to do whatever you want to do. And I remember Pastor Dow, bless his heart, he would always say this: people will do whatever people want to do. And that's what makes ministry hard. That's what makes pastoring a church hard, knowing that whatever we do to this city, whatever we do in demonstrating God's love, we do it with no strings attached. I'm not doing it. I'm not saying it. I'm not loving people. Man, we go to a Dollar General all the time. They know us by name now. And I love on them. And I try to just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Yes, I admit there are times that I walk out there, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I should have said that. Then I go back in and there's a long line and the opportunity's gone. And Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry. So that's happened to me too. But man, when I go and when I walk into that store, I don't just go ahead and be loving just so that they can come to church and be like, all right, I did my, no, I do it with no strings attached, knowing that they're going to come hopefully soon. But when they say, yeah, I'll be there Sunday, I'll be there Sunday morning, I do it with no strings attached, knowing, you know what, I'm still going to love them even if they don't come. And a lot of times when people say, yeah, I'll be there Sunday, they don't show up. So it makes ministry hard, makes pastoring a church hard. People knowing that people are going to do what people want to do. But Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, we can't have that mentality. If we have that mentality, guess what? You're not walking the way God wants you to walk. You're not in unity with the body. You're not submitting to God and his authority. Look, if you don't like what I'm saying, what we're saying comes right from the word of God. The late Dr. Miles Monroe, he wrote a book, and I encourage you, if I have it if you want to read it, The Pursuit of Purpose. And he says, you are the way you are because of who you are. But we need to allow God to reveal who we are and to allow him to help us become who we need to be, because he created us to be a certain person that we're supposed to be. Now, if I look back at my life, at what I grew up in and what I saw, and all the hypocrisy and just the religion lifestyle, if I just look at myself and say, that's who I am, I'm lost. Yeah. But if I look at what the word of God says, and I look at the fact that God loves me and that I'm a born again believer, and I look at the fact that I am a friend of God, and I look at the fact that God wants life in me and God wants me to give life to others by sharing Christ. If I look at who I am now, man, I'm destined and headed to a place that God has prepared for me, a place that God has prepared for you. So we need to allow God to reveal who we are and allow him to help us to become who we need to be. So our thoughts, our attitudes, our ideas, they need to change. That's why I said this prayer in the beginning of the service. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Change our mentality. Change our attitudes. Change our thoughts. Change our ideas of what church is supposed to be. Because a lot of people think that church is just you come Sunday, that's it. I grew up living in that. I grew up watching that. And on any given Saturday, you go in for confession. And this is what I learned. Because I was a Catholic boy. I was an altar boy. You know, the priest would lift up the Eucharist and I'd be up there waiting for him to, you know, don't ring the bells until he lifts it up, you know. And so wait till he lifts up the Eucharist. We ring the bells. So I was an altar boy. So I saw that. So on any given Saturday afternoon, we go to the church to go ahead and have confession, to go and have confession. We do our confession. The priest would tell us to say, you know, several Our Fathers or several Hail Marys or bunch of them, regardless, you know, depending on what we've done. And then that was it. And I've seen that the religiosity of that, that people would say that and then go out about their merry own lives and still do the same thing. There was no repentance. There was no repentance. I didn't see it in my family. Maybe all of our family. I mean, everybody in our family, we were going to some place and it was not heaven. Because there was no relationship. There was no relationship with Jesus. So we said a couple of prayers and we kept. And you know what? People have that mentality that that's what church is. And church is not that. It's a relationship. Not just on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. In the a.m. and in the p.m. It's a relationship with him. That's what church is. And that's why we as believers in Jesus Christ, our attitudes, our ideas, our concepts of what Christianity is, if it's not in the Word of God, then it needs to change. That's why we need to learn how to grow. We need to learn how to work together and we can grow, build his kingdom. The great thing is this, the foundation's already laid. Foundation's already laid. And it's Jesus Christ. And we're to build on that by sharing Christ who has saved us, sharing Christ with those who have no salvation. Let's consider who you are and what God wants to accomplish in and through you. Now, you are a child of God, born again believer in Christ. You have purpose and there is a plan for your life. There is a ministry that you are to be engaging in and investing in the lives of others. You want to know why I know that? Because God didn't send his very best to die for you just so that you could just sit there and do nothing. So that you can carry around the good news of Jesus Christ with saved souls and then just don't share it. God didn't send his very best so that you can hoard and you can hold on to the very thing that people need to hear. God didn't say, just keep it to yourself. He says, go share it. Go make disciples. Go tell people and go share Jesus Christ. Did you know that no one can do the ministry like you can? There's something specific that God has ordained for you to walk in. There are people that only can that only you can impact in a certain way that no one else can do like you. There was something special about Peter and Paul. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Peter and Paul, they ministered to two different kinds of people. They were obedient to the Father. They were obedient to the mission and the ministry that God gave them. Galatians 2, 7 and 8. It says, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, says Paul, as the gospel for the circumcised was committed to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter, God working effectively in Peter, for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. Their ministries were separate and specific. They weren't supposed to swap ministries because the way that God had called them to do something that nobody else could do quite like them. And the same goes for you. This is why we need to learn how to work together and flow by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and in unity and the bond of peace in this church. Because God's giving you a ministry. God's giving you a group of people. Maybe it's the people in the cubicle in the office where you're at. If that's it, then great, that's it. But those are the people that need to hear Jesus. So do your best to be available by the Holy Spirit to say whatever, to do whatever, to touch their hearts. But Peter and Paul, they weren't supposed to swap ministries. Listen, for you there is no substitute. Listen, for you there is no substitute. Meaning no one can do what you do for the gospel's sake quite like you. But if you don't step in, get involved, choose to do God's way, without you, God will still get the job done. He will still get the job done. You know, we all know Billy Graham. What if Billy Graham never listened to his Sunday school teacher and never gave his life to Jesus Christ? Well, we would know some guy by the name of Tim Jones. And we would know Tim Jones as we all know Billy Graham today. Billy Graham, his life was changed. And he reached thousands. But to say that nobody else could have done, oh, God would have raised up somebody else. Ray would have raised up Tim Jones. Reinhard Bonnke. Man has preached the gospel throughout all of South America and Africa probably. But if he didn't answer the call, we'd be talking about some other guy. Who's done it? So we do have purpose. We do have value. And God wants to use us for his glory. But we must be humble enough to say, you know what? I'm not a loner. I'm a part of the body. And I will do my part. And that's why this message, this series has been so important that we apply with what we're learning. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. And I want us to go through this because Jesus Christ, the anointed one, he has, through him, the whole body. There are many parts to this body. And we are all valuable. We are all created by God. Each part has value because God gave his very best to die for you. That means you are valuable. We all have purpose because God's very best died so that we can partake of God's best blessing, which is eternal life with him. So the whole body joined and held together, as it says, there's only one who brought us together. That's Jesus. If you got somebody else that you're saying, yeah, he's the one that brought you together with all of us. If it ain't Jesus, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one that has brought us together. He's the one that is the reason why we are righteous. He's the one that reason why we are victorious, because he died, but yet he rose again, and he's the one that brings us victory. Amen. Okay, just want to make sure you're still awake with me and you're there. The whole body joined and held together, and Jesus Christ brought us together, and he keeps us together. The Holy Spirit is what leads us and guides us. The body is joined. King James says fitly joined. That means to be organized closely, joined closely. The body is together. King James says compacted, framed together, many parts compiled together. Kind of like some of you that make goulash, or you make some kind of a casserole dish. All kinds of different ingredients. But when it's inside that casserole dish, everything's together, is it not? Everything's together. Everything's mixed up. The salt, the pepper, the spices. Everything's mixed together. And we are the body of Christ. Many different talents, many different abilities, many different nationalities, different ages. We are all supposed to learn how to work together, being led by the Holy Spirit. By every supporting ligament, King James says, by what every joint supplies. What that means is that working through each one, being bonded together, connected for contribution, contributing to God's plan. Look, whatever we're praying for you guys to contribute, it's not for Pastor Rick and Shannon's vacation. We're not wanting you guys to contribute. We're wanting you to contribute to the plan of God, to the ministry of God, to the call of God, to the work of the ministry, for the work of God. It's not our work, it's God's work. And so we need to be bonded together for the contribution of God's plan. It's God's desire. This is why it's important that we align ourselves with the leadership of this church and get involved. For us to have, for Hidden Treasures to have, even just one person that's not submitted or aligning themselves to the leadership of this church, that's one opening the enemy can come and bring division. Do you know how serious this is now? That give you a glimpse of how serious this is? Now, for those of you that might have, you know, privacy wooden fences, and you know, some of you that, you know, really care about your lawn, your backyard, because you know, sometimes I have to. There's a lot of things I have to fix, but I get these animals that come into our yard, and they dig their nose into the ground, and they try to eat some of those roots, and all of a sudden there's like four or five different, you know, holes in my backyard. It's like you're walking in some gushy stuff, and you know, and so that happens because I'm not setting up a boundary in my yard to keep these animals from coming in. You know what animals I'm talking about? Armadillos, yes. Never eaten one. Don't plan on eating one. But listen, some even pick up roadkill and take it home. Hey, more power to them. But these armadillos will destroy and ruin your lawn. But what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to set up a boundary. Listen, the enemy will come into this church, and he will begin to create division, and it will be because one person in this church is not wanting to align themselves to the leadership, walking to the beat of their own drum, wanting to do whatever they want to do, and not submitting under authority. That's dangerous. That is downright dangerous. And this is why this is so important for us, that we are learning together. And you know what? Let's apply scripture to our lives. Again, going back to Ephesians 4:16, there is a purpose. Yeah, let's go there real quick. I had it here. Here we go. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, the Lord wants to do something effective in this church, in us. There is a purpose. That's the reason why we're talking about this. To encourage us, to exhort us, to apply and put into practice what God's word says. That we move forward, headed towards something. What are we headed towards? Something that is effective, an efficient work. And you know what? Where it says, according to the effective working, this is the only place in the New Testament where it mentions effective working. Effective work, it pertains to supernatural power. We're moving forward to something that is beyond our power, beyond our control, that we can't do on our own strength. We want to move forward being empowered by God's Holy Spirit to do what God is wanting us to do. You know, it would be very, very silly, very silly for us to think that we can do church on our own strength, on our own ideas. How many of you got ideas for fundraisers? How many of you guys got ideas for this or that? How many of you guys got ideas to reach a certain area in Kingsland? And we don't apply any prayer. We don't seek God for wisdom. We don't seek God for knowledge. We don't seek God for protection and covering. We don't seek God to, you know, God's Holy Spirit to touch those people's lives. We're just going to go to a certain place, go ahead and make them a bunch of sandwiches and chips and bottles of water. And we're just going to go ahead and tell them Jesus loves you. If it's not with the Holy Spirit, if it's not empowered by God's power, we're not going to accomplish anything. All we're going to do is give a bunch of people food. We have a food pantry. If it's not our desire to share Jesus with them and pray with them, whoever's looking for prayer, all we're doing is giving people food. So the fact that we all have to put this to practice, apply it to our lives, that we are to be humble and be in unity in this church, that when God's power comes upon us or in our situation, we'll be effective at what we're doing. All that we do together, remaining in unity, accomplishes God's desire as God's power is at work in us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, for it is God which worketh in you. That word worketh is the same as is the same Greek word as to do later on. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will, to desire, to love, to do, to delight in and have pleasure in, and to do, to be operative, putting forth work, be in effect, display one's activity, not wishful thinking, but active doing of his good pleasure. So, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The word worketh and to do is the same Greek word energio. It means that we would be operative. It's something that just doesn't happen one time and it stops. It is a continuous putting forth, something being put in effect, something displayed in our activity, whether it's words or our actions. The work of God is being done through us and in us by God's limited or required power that he's given us. The work, this work, and this is where it is. This is the reason why. Produces growth to you. So listen, you want to grow in Christ? You want to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Be submissive to the leadership of this church. Work together with one another. And be submissive and work together. Humble yourself. Work in unity. You know what that'll do? It'll produce growth in your life. You know what else that will do? It'll produce growth in the church by people coming to know Jesus Christ. When they see a bunch of people working together, loving God together, doing ministry together, it's going to affect this city. It's going to affect this city. I still want to reach this city. Yes. I still want to reach this city. I don't want to just have us come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. For those of you, we're not having Sunday night service tonight because we're having fellowship and lunch afterwards. But it's every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't want us to just come into this building and just say, all right, we've done our duty and walk out. I want us to be changed. I want us to be prepared, geared up, that when we walk outside that door, we are ready, working together, praying for the different ministries, praying that people will come to know Christ, praying for you, you know, praying for Tom or praying for Jacob while they're at work. God, use them in a mighty way. Going down the prayer list and praying for the different things that we pray for, that we would be effective. Listen, I'm not sure if you're on the same page, but if you're not, I hope you do get on the same page. Slide 7. I hope you will get on the same page. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Because if you're not on the same page as where we're headed, where we're wanting to go, why are you wanting to be on the team? Why are you wanting to be on the team? Listen, I do not want any opening for the enemy to come to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what he's going to do if we allow it. But man, if we come together and we say, you know what? We are the body of Christ, and I have a place, and I will do my part while I'm in this body, while I'm a part of the body of Christ. I will do my part. The enemy has no opening. The enemy has no way to come in to kill, steal, and destroy. As Jesus Christ forms many parts, I wanted to say this real quick, because as I was studying for this verse, I thought, you know what, Lord, I hope it's not wrong, but maybe verse 16 can be written like this. Jesus Christ forms many parts of his body together, each part created by God with value and purpose. God working through each part, bonded together and contributing to God's plan and desire, all moving forward to an efficient work that God empowers supernaturally. Each part is provided with a required portion of power so that his work, the work of the Lord, produces growth to each part of the body, and God willing, will add to the whole body, being new believers in Jesus Christ. The gospel being sent out, lived out, shared by your words or actions. That's the great priority. This is why we must work together in humility and peace. A joint campaign, I like this, a joint campaign with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's not working in us. If we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through us, we're not really doing much. His power, his gospel, and we, his people, the body of Christ, glorifying God and making Jesus known. It is our prayer and God's desire that this series helps reinforce the bonds that have been made, maybe already in this church. There are some bonds already being made, and some that are being made, some that will probably be formed today, hopefully. Hidden Treasures preparing and ready. Are you ready? I hope so. For effective and productive ministry. See, because I choose not to do church as it was decades before. Not this church, but just church in general. I choose not to do church as decades before. You want to know why? In our world today, society, or let's just say the enemy, is working hard to disqualify and renovate or put down the fundamental teachings and principles that we find in Scripture. That's why people don't understand why we can't tolerate same-sex marriages. That's why people can't understand why we can't look the other way. We can't look the other way because this is what God's Word says. Why look the other way? We choose not to look the other way. But society and this world is getting hard. They're changing people's minds. They're changing people's thoughts about what God really says. And it's all about loving each other and being kind and being loving, because that's what Jesus would do. Yeah, Jesus would be loving and kind, but he would tell you your sin while he's being loving and kind. And there needs to be repentance with that. So why preach all of this? Why preach that we all be on the same page? Because there's a lot of people that are walking by the beat of their own drum, and they're not being in unity, and we got to be in unity. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead all of us together. The world can change many times as it wants, and a lot of it, you know, it has over for many hundreds of years. That doesn't mean God's word has to change. Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 8, pretty much says the same thing 1 Peter 1:22 through 25. But I'll read Isaiah 40, verse 3 through 8. It says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its lowliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Amen. God's word will never change, just like Shannon mentioned earlier. God will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as I play this video, you know, we're going to play this video, and this is just an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Then he's going to replay it again. And at the second time of this song, Ian, if you want to go get Ethan ready, we have a baptism. Look, if there's somebody here that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite him to you. Or I want you to meet him. I want you to know about him. I want you to know about his love and that he died on the cross for your sin. And, you know, even if you're not prepared, hey, that, you know, we can go ahead and dunk you in water and baptize you today, too. Today is the day of salvation, and you're here today. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can know him today. And I encourage you not to wait till tomorrow, not to wait till things are all okay, not to wait till things are all hunky-dory and everything is clean and you've been delivered, because that's not going to happen on your own strength. It's going to happen by the power of God changing your life.